Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and China hail progress on trade talks.
We've agreed to far more than we have left to agree to.
Plus, President Trump picks Herman Cain for a seat on the Fed.
In the U.K., Theresa May pushes for a delay to Brexit.
And Wall Street awaits the March jobs report.
President Trump heads to the U.S.-Mexico border today. Plus, ex-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen offers hard drive files in a bid for leniency. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Gleyber Torres, the hero for the Yankees. Two homers and a win at Baltimore. The Mets' home opener shut out by Washington. The Islanders won. The Devils lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks edging higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures up about 16. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. FTSE 100 up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds. Yield 2.52%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $62.09 a barrel. COMEX gold, little changed at $1,293.90 an ounce. The euro at 1.1229 against the dollar, and the yen 111.71. Nathan.
Karen, progress. That's the word on trade talks between the U.S. and China.
We've agreed to far more than we have left to agree to.
President Trump talking up prospects for a, quote, monumental trade agreement.
I guess it is, if you think about it, the biggest deal ever made. There can't be a deal like this. No matter where you look, there can't be a deal like this. This is the granddaddy of them all.
At the same time, the president says a final agreement is likely several weeks away.
And we also had notes of optimism out of Beijing overnight. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has details from Hong Kong.
Xinhua says President Xi Jinping is now pushing for a quick resolution to the talks. Vice Premier Liu He cited a new consensus on the text of a trade agreement. That likely means that the implementation and enforcement protocols are closer to getting done. Asian markets took the news in stride. On the one hand, a monumental deal sounds attractive, but then 4 to 6 weeks means further delay. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. And talks continue again today in Washington. Those sources tell us there's no timetable for negotiations after that.
All right, turning to Brexit news now. Theresa May is asking the EU to delay its exit from the bloc until June. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A second possible delay to Brexit. Prime Minister Theresa May has written to European Council President Donald Tusk requesting postponement to June 30th. She says she's aiming to avoid holding European elections next month. But the European Union's view is that a longer delay will probably be necessary. And remember, the other 27 countries also need to agree to this. France has already responded that it's premature to talk of an extension. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. We have some encouraging economic data out of Germany. The country's industrial output rose in February thanks to a surge in construction. German production increased 0.7%, beating estimates for a 0.5% gain.
And back here in the U.S., today's data is all about jobs, with the March employment report due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with a preview. John.
And good morning, Nathan. After a poor showing in February with only 20,000 jobs created, investors will be keenly focused on today's payrolls number. Anything like February, and that could further ignite fears of a recession. Economists are expecting a rebound. A Bloomberg survey puts the number at 177,000 non-farm payrolls. Average hourly earnings will take a back seat to the headline number. The earnings number, so far, hasn't been feeding into inflation, and that has allowed the Federal Reserve to remain patient. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. President Trump says Herman Cain is being vetted for a seat on the Federal Reserve.
I find Herman to be an outstanding person, a truly outstanding individual. I would think he would do very well there.
Herman Cain is a former CEO and politician and co-founded a pro-Trump super PAC in September. Here with more on the president's pick is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
He was a successful businessman, ran the Godfather's Pizza chain. He was a failed presidential candidate. 2010, he announced for president, dropped out a year later because sexual harassment allegations were raised against him. And it'll be interesting to see if those come back as part of the confirmation process. It was said that Trump was holding off on nominating him until his background checks were done. In theory, that may have been done and they may have cleared him.
Though Kane has no direct monetary policy experience, he served as chairman of the Kansas City Fed in the 90s.
Now, Herman Kane would join Heritage Foundation fellow Stephen Moore as the president's selections for two open seats at the Fed. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is reacting to the selections.
You know, they don't seem like the right people to put on the Fed. I do think Jay Powell is very bright. And I think the Fed people, I don't agree with everything they've ever done, but I think they're very bright people trying to do the right stuff. I don't think they'd be pushed around very much by tweets or words and all that.
Now, the selections of Kane and Moore differ sharply from the president's previous more orthodox selections for the Fed. Both would require Senate confirmation.
Meanwhile, central bank officials are pushing back against the idea of cutting rates, with Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker saying he does not see a cut this year or the next. At the same time, he doesn't see many hikes on the way either.
My outlook for rates remains at most, and I emphasize at most, one hike for this year, 2019, and at most one for 2020.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester, meanwhile, says it's possible they could be done raising rates, though if the economy performs as expected, she sees the Fed funds rate moving a bit higher than current levels.
And finally, on the corporate front, Samsung is reporting its worst drop in operating profit in more than 4 years. Falling memory chip prices and slowing smartphone sales led to a 60% decline in first quarter operating income. Mark Newman is senior research analyst at Sanford Bernstein.
A lot of it was factored in. I think we knew there was oversupply because there's still uncertainty on where this bottoms out.
Shares of Samsung fell just 0.2% after already cutting its forecast for the period. Futures pointed higher ahead of the jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. S&P futures up 3.5 points. Dow futures ahead by 28 points. NASDAQ futures up 15.5. The 10-year yield 2.52%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump will visit the U.S.-Mexico border today in Calexico, California. The president will see a recently renovated section of the border wall. He had threatened to close down the border this week unless Mexico immediately halted all illegal immigration coming into the U.S., but backtracked yesterday. The president is now talking tariffs rather than southern border closure. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says over the past few days, Mexico has worked on enforcing its southern border, so he's shifting his threat to slapping a tariff on cars coming into the U.S. from Mexico.
I don't think we'll ever have to close the border because the penalty of tariffs on cars coming into the United States from Mexico at 25% will be massive.
Reaction from critics of that idea say what hurts several automakers from around the world, as well as thousands of their workers. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It comes as the ACLU and the Sierra Club urged a federal judge to block the president from building a wall along the southern border using billions of dollars in taxpayer funds by declaring a national emergency. Canada is ratcheting up pressure on the U.S. to lift tariffs on steel and aluminum. It threatens to hold up the new USMCA trade deal. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico signed their new trade deal last November, but it still needs to be ratified by lawmakers in all three countries. President Trump's ex-personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, wants to give congressional Democrats more information in return for help in delaying the start of his 3-year prison sentence next month, or even reducing it. Cohen's lawyers wrote to lawmakers that Cohen has recently been able to access a hard drive with 14 million files from his computers and telephones that they believe have significant value to investigators. NATO ministers met in Washington to mark the 70th anniversary of the alliance. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said ministers approved measures aimed at stopping Russian aggression.
In light of Russia's attacks on Western democracies, we agreed to improve our defenses against hybrid warfare, develop new strategies to deter it, and identify prompt and effective responses.
Pompeo appealed to members to stand together to confront challenges from, but not limited to, Russia, China, and Iran. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Yankees were in an early hole in Baltimore, down 3-0, later 4-1. One Yankee made sure that they snapped out of their slump.
Swung on, hit high in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a three-run home run. The second home run of the day. It is Glaber Day. Oh, like a good Glaber. Torres is there. He hits a three-run home run to left. And the Yankees take a 5-4 lead.
John Sterling, WFAN. What a day for Gleyber Torres. That three-run homer, earlier solo shot, single, double, four hits, four RBIs. Luke Voit, who hit a three-run homer in the first inning of the first game and had done basically nothing since, hit a three-run shot in the ninth. And the Yankees beat the Orioles 8-4. The win to New Yank James Paxton, who settled down after a first inning where he gave up a homer and had a balk and wild pitch with the bases loaded. The Mets home opener. Bats were quiet. They lost to Washington 4-0. Steven Strasburg the win. Noah Syndergaard took the loss. He criticized the schedule, playing a 1 o'clock game in New York after playing the night before in Miami. Syndergaard had earlier criticized the idea of going to Syracuse before the opener in Washington. Mets and Yankees both off today. Ex-Met Matt Harvey on the mound for the Angels gave up 8 runs, 10 hits. Glenn Sather, who's run the Rangers for nearly 2 decades, will resign as team president. He'll remain as a special advisor. Rangers will seek a new president. Islanders, a 2-1 shootout win at Florida. They're 2 points ahead of in the race for home ice in the playoffs. Washington clinched the division. Devils lost 3-1 at Carolina. Texas won the NIT. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, and we'll try to make sense of why the upstart Alliance of American Football failed. For that, we speak with former AAF quarterback Jack Hannigan. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and this update is brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The labor market probably heated up again in March. Consensus calls for a gain of 177,000 jobs, with the unemployment rate holding at 3.8%. There are signs of progress on trade talks. China's vice premier says negotiators reached consensus on a trade agreement, though President Trump says it will still take several weeks to work out details. Theresa May is requesting a delay to Brexit. The Prime Minister is asking European Council President Donald Tusk to put off the UK's exit until June 30th. And Morgan Stanley will oversee Uber's stock in the first hours of its trading debut. Sources tell Bloomberg Goldman Sachs and Bank of America will also be lead underwriters, while Barclays, Citi and Allen & Company are also on board. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are up about 4 points. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures up about 16. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.53%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $62.12 a barrel. And COMEX gold, little change at $12.93.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1227 against the dollar. The yen 111.71. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump is threatening to slap tariffs on cars coming to the U.S. from Mexico unless Mexico does more to stop the flow of migrants trying to enter the U.S. President Trump had threatened to close down the border this week, but he backtracked yesterday. He will visit the border today during a trip to California. Ex-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen is offering to turn over hard drive files to congressional Democrats in a bid for leniency before he starts his 3-year prison sentence next month. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 8-4. The Mets lost their home opener. They were shut out by the Nationals 4-0. The Red Sox lost to the A's 7-3. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout. The Devils lost. The Bruins were winners. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Well, after February's crummy jobs report, investors even more focused on the March report, which is out this morning at 8:30 Wall Street time. Bloomberg chief U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna joins us in studio this morning to tell us what to expect. Is this going to show us that February was a fluke?
I think it will. That's definitely the most important aspect of this report, is to see if we're actually experiencing a sustained slowdown in the pace of hiring, or if February just happened to be a little bit of an anomaly. And what we found, we went back and looked at past hiring stalls in this economic cycle, which is now 10 years running. And what we found was, since the unemployment rate normalized, so let's say since it came below 7%, these stalls have been very short-lived. They've typically been just 1 month with a very impressive bounce back in the following month. So since we crossed below 7% unemployment, this has happened 5 times. And 4 out of the 5 times, the next month was a 200,000-plus type of payroll increase. In fact, the average over that period was about 250,000. So that augurs for a very impressive recovery from what we saw in February. I'm not quite so high. I'm at 175 on my payroll gain, but the point is, it's very difficult to destabilize an economy that's being driven by consumer spending when the unemployment rate is as low as it is.
This time of year, the numbers get a little funky, right?
Yes, we tend to have big seasonal swings. In January, you have layoffs of all of those holiday-related workers. And then in March and February, you tend to have some idiosyncrasies around hiring and firing in the outdoor-sensitive sectors, things like home building and whatnot. So if you have a warm winter and then suddenly cold February, which was the case, then you tend to see a lot of those layoffs being concentrated into the month, and that may have been one of the factors. Similarly, as the weather starts to break in the spring, if it breaks earlier than usual or later than usual, then that seasonal pickup tends to get jostled around as well.
We're all data dependent. The data recently has not been, has been a little weaker.
A little weaker is an understatement. We've definitely seen a soft patch in the economic data over the last...
Crummy,
I think, works in this case, John. But we've seen a soft patch in consumer spending, in industrial output, factory data. A whole array of categories have really gone through a soft patch here. The jobs report, I think, will provide some...
So if we get a jobs report that is below consensus, well below consensus, that is going to, again, raise fears of a possible recession.
That's going to fan the flames of concern that the economy really is staggering here. Maybe not necessarily tipping into recession, but going through a deeper, longer soft patch than what a lot of economists are anticipating. And that's going to fan the flames of these expectations of a Fed rate cut either late this year or early next year.
The payroll numbers are going to take a bit of a backseat, the average hourly earnings, but they still matter.
Well, I think payrolls matter more than usual, given that weakness in February. So that'll be the first thing traders look to. But then the second thing, assuming we do see some bounce back in the payroll number, is the wage inflation data, the average hourly earnings. Those are running at the fastest pace of this economic expansion. And that's something that's kind of being missed given all these negative headlines we've talked about in other economic series, including that weak February hiring number. While we're watching all of this train wreck, in the background, we're seeing wage pressures increase pretty significantly, and there's going to be some pass-through relatively soon into consumer inflation. This is not on folks' radar screens, including the Fed, but I think the story of 2019 will be wage inflation percolating through to consumer prices.
That does not feed into a pause, Carl Riccadonna.
Well, it means the end of the pause won't be a cut.
Okay, Carl Riccadonna, the Bloomberg chief U.S. economist. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Again, the payrolls number and the wage numbers, all that good stuff, the jobs report for last month, that is out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And, of course, we will have live coverage on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and John Farrell. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burden. Visit burdenllp.com/radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher following signs of progress on trade talks between the U.S. and China, with President Trump talking up prospects for a monumental agreement. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The president at once lowered the immediate prospects but raised the ultimate stakes about as high as he could get, calling it maybe the biggest deal ever made.
This is the granddaddy of them all. And we'll see if it happens.
He said any final agreement is probably still weeks away, but trade rep Robert Lighthizer said major issues remain. Trump said those include intellectual property protection, tariffs, and how a deal will be enforced. Still, the talks, he said, are rounding the turn.
We've agreed to far more than we have left to agree to.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. Meanwhile, China's vice premier says there is consensus on the text of a new trade agreement, and Chinese President Xi Jinping is pushing for a rapid conclusion. Talks continue again today in Washington.
In just about 2 hours, we get the U.S. employment report for March after the economy added just 20,000 jobs in February. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has a preview.
A rebound is forecast. Most analysts say February was more likely noise than signal. While job creation should slow late in the business cycle, anything remotely similar to February would set off recession warning bells. Earnings, meanwhile, are at a cycle peak, but don't seem to be feeding into inflation. That takes the pressure off the Fed to react, so another strong number wouldn't raise interest rate concerns on global Wall Street. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. And the UK Prime Minister Theresa May is requesting for a delay to Brexit, asking European Council President Donald Tusk to put off the UK's exit until June 30th. This is after reports that Tusk is proposing a 12-month extension. JP Morgan's CEO Jamie Dimon is weighing in on the situation.
A hard Brexit will be a really bad recession in Britain. It'll be not so great for Europe. It won't affect America that much. So it's not an earth-shattering thing. It's just a bad idea.
And on the earnings front, Samsung Electronics has reported its worst operating profit drop in more than 4 years. The South Korea-based company was hurt by falling memory chip prices, along with slowing smartphone sales.
And S&P futures are up 4 points this morning. Dow futures are up 30. NASDAQ futures up about 16. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.53%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 11 cents to $61.99 a barrel. COMEX gold that'll change at $12.94.30 an ounce. The euro at 1.1229 against the dollar. The yen 111.71. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson. Visit their Hoboken campus on April 6th. That's tomorrow. For a graduate open house, learn more at stevens.edu/open house. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump heads to the southern border today. The president will head to Calexico, California, right on the U.S. border to look at a fence. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is calling for more border barriers, as she says her agency is in disaster response due to an uptick in migrants. Nielsen spoke to CNN.
In this case, what it would do is it would have the effect of encouraging those families and children to go to ports of entry and not take the journey through remote areas. So the barriers are actually important because it helps make sure that we have a safe and orderly flow.
The ACLU announced it's filed a motion to immediately stop construction of the president's border wall. The motion is part of the lawsuit filed in February challenging the president's national emergency declaration. President Trump says his lawyers will answer questions about his tax returns. During a meeting with the Chinese vice premier, President Trump was asked if he'll direct the IRS commissioner not to comply with a formal request by the House Ways and Means Committee chair.
They'll speak to my lawyers. They'll speak to the attorney general.
Will you direct the IRS to do that?
They'll speak to my lawyers and they'll speak to the attorney general.
President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, wants to give congressional Democrats more information in return for help in delaying the start of his 3-year prison sentence next month. Cohen's lawyers wrote to lawmakers that Cohen has recently been able to access a hard drive with 14 million files from his computers and telephones that they believe have significant value to investigators. Those files consist of all emails, voice recordings, images, and attachments from Cohen's computers and phones dating from as long as 10 years ago. There are more reports that members of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team are sharing frustrations with how Attorney General William Barr is handling their report on the Russia investigation. Now the Washington Post is reporting that an associate of the Mueller team says the report is much more acute than Barr suggested. But Senator Lindsey Graham says he has no concerns with Barr's summary.
He's not stupid. Why would he do that? He's dedicated his whole life to the law. Why would he give a summary that doesn't accurately reflect the conclusions?
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hey, Michael, thanks. It's coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, baseball back at Citi Field. The crowd for the home opener, over 44,000, second largest ever for a regular season game. But the Mets held the 4 harmless singles, shut out by Washington 4-0. Steven Strasburg the win. Noah Syndergaard took the loss. They only gave up one hit. Rookie first baseman Pete Alonso didn't like the outcome, but enjoyed his new home.
It's special. It's an amazing environment to play in. And, I mean, seeing all the seats filled, it was wonderful. And I can't wait to play the whole season here. I mean, this is exciting. And, I mean, yes, yeah, it's awesome playing here.
They'll be back there tomorrow. Yankees also off today after a much-needed 8-4 win at Baltimore. Down 3-0, later 4-1. They were looking at a 2-5 record, 1-3 versus lowly Baltimore. But the bats finally came alive. 2 home runs for Gleyber Torres. His solo shot got the Yanks on the board. His 3-run blast put him ahead. Torres with 4 hits, 4 RBIs. Gary Sanchez and Luke Voit also homered. James Paxton, his first Yankee win. Red Sox now 2-6, lost at Oakland 7-3. Stanley Cup playoffs begin next week. The Islanders, who won 2-1 in a shootout at Florida, had their hopes of winning the division come to an end. Washington clinched. The goal now, home ice in the first round. They're 2 points ahead of Pittsburgh. Carolina clinched a playoff berth, beating the Devils 3-1. Glenn Sather officially stepping down as team president of the Rangers. Though it got leaked early, the Jets unveiled their new uniforms. Out are white helmets, in are green, and New York will now be written on the front of the uniforms. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street, and Boeing is responding to a preliminary report on last month's Ethiopian Airlines crash. The report findings show pilots faced several malfunctions and alarms just seconds after the jet took off. Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg.
As pilots have told us, erroneous activation of the MCAS function can add to what is already a high workload environment. It's our responsibility to eliminate this risk. We own it, and we know how to do it.
That so-called MCAS feature is suspected in causing the dive that resulted in the crash of Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302. It came less than 5 months after another 737 MAX operated by Lion Air suffered a similar fate. It's 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board just a day after the U.S. reached a new agreement on migration with El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. President Trump announced he was cutting off their aid. At a stroke, he has made it more likely that caravans of Central American migrants will keep heading north. Ending U.S. aid will increase the desperation in Central America, helping to drive migration. halting aid will undermine efforts to combat the smuggling of drugs and people. The long-term answer to out-migration is opportunity and prosperity at home, and well-designed foreign assistance can help. Aid to Central America is no substitute for fixing a broken asylum system, yet helping El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras is part of the answer. Cheap at the price and very much in the U.S. interest. The president should reverse his decision. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. New York's roots as a fashion leader go back decades, from the start of the annual Fashion Week back in 1943 to Vogue magazine and the luxury shopping strip of Fifth Avenue. Entrepreneurs are drawing on the deep industry knowledge of local world-class designers, pattern makers, and beauty specialists, while also tapping into top tech talent that's been growing in the city. As a result, New York has now become the stomping ground of dozens of scrappy fashion upstarts, from clothing retail rental subscription services like Gwynny B to custom high heel maker True Gold. It's also home to dozens of tech beauty startups like cruelty-free cosmetic brand Winky Lux. Natalie Mackey, the chief executive officer of Winky Lux, says the boom of tech-savvy fashion brands has permanently disrupted the industry. This new breed of company is nimble, innovative, and able to speak to the customer directly. A recent success story is even luring tiny startups like online styling app Wishy away from Silicon Valley. And that's the Small Business Report, Nate.
All right. Thank you for keeping us dedicated followers of fashion, John Tucker. Futures pointed higher. This is Daybreak. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains for the futures right now, with Dow futures up 33 points, S&P's climb by 4.5, and NASDAQ futures rise by 16. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.53%. Oil is little changed, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And note that Prime Minister May requested a Brexit delay to June 30th. In a letter to the EU. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, change in non-farm payrolls estimate 177,000, and at 3 o'clock, consumer credit. In trade news, both China and the U.S. claim progress in the trade talks. And wrapping things up, Boston Beer was downgraded to sell over at Goldman Sachs. International Paper downgraded to sector perform over at RBC. Rail CSX was downgraded to neutral at UBS, and Intel was downgraded to market perform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump, fresh off ending his threat to immediately shut down the border with Mexico, heads to Calexico, California today. He'll inspect the border wall. Trump ex-lawyer Michael Cohen says he recently obtained 10 years of data and will turn over the hard drive files in a bid for leniency from his 3-year prison sentence. Former Vice President Joe Biden is set to make his first public appearance today since women came forward about uncomfortable touching. Biden will speak to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Washington. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles. The Mets lost their home opener to the Nationals. The Red Sox lost to the A's. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout. The Devils lost. The Bruins were winners. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, your bracket may be busted like a tire with 100,000 miles on it. Uh-huh. But the Final Four still promises excitement. Virginia takes on Auburn in the first semifinal tomorrow, followed by Texas Tech versus Michigan State. Only the Spartans have won a national championship before. The big dance wraps up Monday. In the women's tournament, tonight's semis have Baylor facing Oregon and Notre Dame against Connecticut with the final on Sunday.
Yes, indeed. March Madness extends into April. Thank you so much, by the way, for reminding me about my bracket. I'm pretty sure I torched that thing in February.
I think I heard the word poof in one of your casts.
So, pretty much.
Me too. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and in TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. Hand me a tissue. This is Bloomberg.
Am I still allowed to say go Hokies? I know a few UVA alums, so there you go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's close to 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include, of course, the March jobs report due out in, just about an hour and a half or so, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Also, President Trump saying a monumental trade deal with China is weeks away, and the president intending to nominate another loyalist, Herman Cain, to the Federal Reserve Board. Also making news this morning, as you heard from Michael, the president heads to Calexico, California, later today, where he will tour a new section of border wall, and also during his trip to California, raise money for his reelection. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And Kate, of course, this trip comes as the president is now backing off his threat to shut down the border this week. What are you going to be looking for as the president prepares to head to California in just a couple hours here?
Well, I think we're likely to see the president really double down on his rhetoric, that he's used all along in terms of the need to build a wall at the southern border, a need to secure the border. I think just because he's backed off a bit from his threat to, which again, I'll note that he's issued periodically to shut down. This wasn't the first time he said he might consider shutting down the southern border completely. Even though he's backed away from that, I wouldn't expect his rhetoric to be any less harsh while he's at the border today.
Yeah, what to make of this new threat that the president's putting out there, that if Mexico doesn't do something in a year, he's going to impose car tariffs? I mean, a lot of the criticism that the president had gotten from his own Republican Party was about the economic damage that shutting down the border would do. I mean, couldn't we potentially see the same thing if we're talking about car tariffs on a trade partner?
Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember that, the NAFTA 2.0 that the president has much heralded in terms of a big accomplishment, he says, that will help to reset the trade imbalance with Mexico and as in his own telling, will have all these benefits for the U.S. That has not yet been ratified by Congress. And so it's not in force yet. And so I think that the concern, one of the many concerns out there, is that perhaps even by issuing that threat, even if the threat wouldn't, if Trump wouldn't have to make good on the threat for a year, even by issuing the threat potentially, that could create complications for getting the NAFTA rewrite put into place.
I mean, is a threat like that even valid under the current NAFTA?
I mean, I think that the short answer is no. I mean, I think it would be a violation of the current rules and future rules, and it would have, pretty wide-ranging economic implications. I think the idea is that from a political standpoint, Trump can get credit for issuing the threat right now with his base without maybe potentially having to follow through on it.
Yeah, and as the president puts more attention on the immigration issue, an interesting story on the Bloomberg Terminal this morning about civil rights groups and activists putting pressure on the business community over the president's immigration policies. Can you tell us more about this?
Absolutely. This is a really interesting approach that a number of immigration groups are sending a letter to all the Fortune 500 companies and essentially urging them not to hire Trump administration officials, everyone from John Kelly on down to folks from Customs and Border Patrol who are less of household names, and urging them essentially not to hire those folks because of their involvement in helping to execute the Trump policy of separating children from their parents at the border. This is a real interesting way of essentially trying to hold corporate America to account in terms of, a lot of times when people leave an administration, they go on to pretty high paying jobs and, in pretty high profile companies. And I think this is an effort to try to keep that from happening, or at least publicize more the fact that it's happening from this perspective.
Obviously, this is a burgeoning effort on the part of these groups. Are we seeing any reaction from those Fortune 500 companies? Is it having any impact on their decision making?
I mean, I think the letter's just coming out, so it's hard to tell initially. But there was a former Justice Department spokeswoman who was hired by CNN after being involved in helping to execute the policy. And there was a public outcry about that. And that person got a slightly different job, you know, a slightly less high-ranking job as a result of that. So there is, you know, a public relations concern from the point of view of these companies that I think could have some resonance, particularly given the strong emotions on the issue of the family separation at the border.
Obviously an issue that the president has been hammering and potentially will be putting out there even further as we head closer to the 2020 election. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, as always, thank you for the debrief. You can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder that you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. For many years, the movement against abortion has focused on restricting it in relatively modest ways, rather than on amending the Constitution to prohibit it altogether. Now some pro-lifers are asking whether it's time to seek sweeping bans on abortion and ask the Supreme Court to uphold them. Several states are considering heartbeat bills that would ban most abortions. But gradualism has a better chance of changing both public opinion and law in a pro-life direction. Supreme Court justices who are nervous about moving too far too fast are more likely to uphold restrictions than a ban. And over time, their decisions could lead to the declaration that the Constitution doesn't confer a right to abortion. Pro-lifers also seem to have won new support in public opinion by choosing a step-by-step approach. The policy goal for pro-lifers should be the maximum legal protection for unborn children that can be sustained over time. Especially in more liberal states, that will entail a process of democratic persuasion. That process will often be frustratingly slow, but it could lead to enduring progress. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
A new 8-part Netflix series chronicling life on Earth and the threat posed by climate change has received a royal send-off at London's Natural History Museum. Prince Charles lauded the Our Planet series and its narrator, David Attenborough, at a special world premiere event. He was joined by sons Prince William and Prince Harry. The first segment features astonishing footage detailing the variety of the world's wildlife and capturing the sound and fury as 75 million tons of glacial ice collapsed into a sea off Greenland.
The breakaway of an iceberg the size of a skyscraper generates a colossal tidal wave.
The ambitious Netflix series, produced in conjunction with the World Wildlife Federation, was 4 years in the making and involved 600 crew members filming in 50 countries. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And S&P futures are up about 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up 17. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.53%, and the yield on the two-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.1%, down 5 cents to $62.05 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little change this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.